This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Arctic air is bringing bitter cold to parts of the east and south this Christmas Day. High winds and possible flooding are a threat for some areas along the east coast. Temperatures dropping to the mid-20s in Atlanta for lows on Friday morning. In the Great Lakes region, lake effect snow could mix with precipitation on the tail end of a massive storm system today and into Saturday for parts of New York State. As is tradition on Christmas morning, Cardinal Timothy Dolan joins NBC's Today Show with his Christmas message.
There's a lot of darkness out there. Mm-hmm. When all is said and done, when God has the last word, and he does, light conquers darkness. Now, that doesn't give us hope. I don't know what is, what will, and we need hope.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Republicans shot down a last-minute Christmas Eve push from Democrats to rush through $2,000 stimulus checks for Americans. Democrats returned a favor by slapping down the Republicans' push to revisit the levels of foreign aid included in the spending package that both chambers passed earlier this week. Kentucky Republican Congressman James Comer reminding everyone,
"It's up to Congress to right this wrong, and I appreciate the Republicans standing firm on that, and I hope that we can eliminate that waste, fraud, and abuse in the budget."
Maryland Democrat Steny Hoyer has a message for President Trump.
"Surely the President of the United States, whether he's in Mar-a-Lago or any place else, ought to empathize with the pain and suffering and apprehension and deep angst that the American people are feeling and signing this bill."
Over 120,000 Americans are spending Christmas in the hospital with the coronavirus. Over 22,000 of those are in intensive care units. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
President Trump and the First Lady spending their Christmas down at his Mar-a-Lago resort.
The President and First Lady delivered their annual Christmas message Thursday, thanking first responders, medical professionals, and scientists for all their work during the pandemic.
"We are delivering millions of doses of a safe and effective vaccine that will soon end this terrible pandemic and save millions and millions of lives. We're grateful for all of the scientists, researchers, manufacturing workers, and service members who have worked tirelessly to make this breakthrough possible. It is truly a Christmas miracle.
During this wonderful time of year, we also give thanks for the brave and selfless Americans who keep us safe. We are forever grateful for the men and women of law enforcement and the heroes of the United States military.
In this holy season, we thank God for his infinite love, and we pray that the light of his glory will forever shine on this magnificent land. On behalf of Melania and the entire Trump family, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year."
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The Vikings and Saints will meet on the gridiron for a Christmas Day matchup. Minnesota will be in New Orleans for a 4:30 Eastern Time kickoff. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's
that? Well, hello, America. Glad to have you along with us as we celebrate the holidays, the holy days, if I might say. Good to have you with us 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And one of our favorite historians of all time, Bill Fetter, is with us. And we're going to talk about celebrating America's holy days in the face of a pandemic and all this civil confusion that has taken place. You know, what has history taught us about times such as this? Bill Fetter, the American Minute creator, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., is with us now. Hey, Bill, how are we doing, buddy? Merry Christmas.
Bill, Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Well, here we are in the midst of a pandemic, a crazy year, Bill. You know, you look back just in this year alone. Of course, we could probably look back the last 4 years during the Trump experience. What our country has come down to? And, you know, going into this year, you know, things look pretty robust. And, you know, then comes an impeachment. Well, actually, finishing up fourth quarter of last year, impeachment got underway. That took us into the new year. We're battling through that. And then we deal with COVID, and that's going crazy. And as if that's not enough and our hands aren't full enough, because the Democrats, there was no way that they had to do something to bust the balloon of Donald Trump and the momentum that he had garnered with the economy and everything that was going so favorable for most Americans. Then comes George Floyd. And George Floyd was kind of like that added catalyst to ignite things, bring people to the street, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. And, you know, it's just and meanwhile, we're still dealing with COVID. But meanwhile, the president says, hey, look, we got to stay focused and do Operation Warp Speed. And here we are. I mean, the fact that we have a vaccine right now in less than a year, this is nothing short of a miracle, Bill, is it?
Well, there's been lots of crises, and we've successfully gotten through those in the past. And, you know, if you quick zoom out, you look at all of world history, every generation's had a crisis. Now, they are taking more of a global dimension that they've never had before. But you have Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, bubonic plague. Each one is of the utmost severity to that generation. And my attitude is it sort of a self-sorting out of the sheep and the goats? It's not the ultimate sorting out of sheep and goats, right?
Right.
But it's like it lets the person reveal whose side they're on.
Yes.
You can either be part of the problem, ignore the problem, or try to bring God's love and comfort, stand up for righteousness, defend the defenseless. It sort of reveals, you know, freshman chemistry class, you'd have a beaker with the solution and you'd pour in a catalyst and there would be a reaction and some stuff would precipitate, fall to the bottom. Others would turn into bubbles and float to the top. And the era we live in is the beaker with the solution. The crisis is the catalyst, and all
yes.
it does is reveal what's already mm-hmm. been there the whole time. And so this is our turn to step up to the plate.
Well, you bring up a good point here, and I hope people caught that, and that is the sifting of, the wheats and the tares, whatever you want to call it, goats and sheep, and, what side you're on. And I believe that there's some soul searching going on, because I have to say this, from what I'm hearing across the country, Bill, we are in the midst of this. People are instinctively looking up, and they're looking up because they know they don't have the answer, but God does.
Yeah, I almost think that's the purpose of it. God loves us. He wants us to love him back. Love, by definition, must be voluntary. The moment it's forced, it evaporates. God does not need our love, but he wants it. And so he has plan A and plan B. This is my deep theology here. Plan A is he blesses us so much we turn to him out of gratefulness. If that doesn't work, there's plan B. He withholds the blessings and we turn to him out of desperation. He can't force us, because the moment he would force us, it would no longer be a love response. But right. For most of American history, he's blessed us, and we've thanked him. We have him on our coin, on our pledge, days of Thanksgiving. But recently, no matter how much we've been blessed, we've been kicking him out of everything.
Exactly.
And I ask people, if you were God, what would you do?
Right. Well, and you bring up a good point here. It's as if it's all baked into the recipe here. You follow God's way, and like the conversation, I echo that. I mean, I hear this, this admonition echoing through the millennia in the conversation between God and Cain. If you do right, will it not go well for you? I mean, those are the bumpers of holiness and, doing right, doing righteous, doing those things that reflect God, not our own humanity and our own selfishness. If we make those right choices, we will get right results. We've been reaping what we have sown, and to your point, instinctively, people know something's wrong. And I've heard people talk about, well, we need revival. Well, you can't have revival without repentance. First of all, we have to reconcile ourselves to what we've done with God and how we have violated godly principles. We can get our spiritual acts on track, and then the country and our families and our marriages will follow, will they not?
I think you're hitting it right on the head there. And I like to look at things from a biblical and historical perspective. If God blesses us while we're in sin, he would be effectively showing consent to the sin. And in the law, there's a concept, silence equals consent. The wedding ceremonies, where the minister says, anybody against this wedding, speak now or forever hold your peace. So if you're sitting there silent, holding your peace, your silence is actually giving consent to the wedding. And so if God blesses us when we're in sin, he would effectively be giving consent to the sin. If he gives consent to the sin, he's no longer a just God.
Exactly.
He denies his very nature. He denies himself. Mm-hmm. So his very nature is being pushed here, and so the gospel is that he provides the Lamb, Jesus. We're celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ, that God's only Son became the Lamb to take the judgment, so that he could maintain his being just in that he judges the sin, but he's loved, and that he provided the Lamb to take the judgment.
And that's our choice to make. Do we accept the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf and be in communion with God once again and be reconciled in such a way to where we're not the effect of this chaos? Because dare I say, Bill, even in the midst of this right now, there are you have that remnant that have so much hope and love of God that they're not quite as affected. It's kind of like the difference of what happened with the children of Israel while they were in Egypt, and Egypt was being judged, right? There was a clear differentiation.
We're into the Christmas holidays, and I wrote a book on the history of St. Nicholas and Christmas traditions, but a whole lot of it goes back to crises in early generations, even during the Roman Empire persecution of Christians, and maybe we can share a little on that.
Yeah, let's do that, because we're coming down to about the last 30 seconds here, so we're going to go to break. I always appreciate this time with Bill Fetter. He has become such a dear friend, for his wisdom, his insight, his knowledge of history. I mean, every time I'm around him. I got to have a pen and paper or some sort of recording track to to catch the golden nuggets that he so easily spells out to us. So we've got more from Bill Fetter. Get ready to take more notes.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
Working with local missionaries in Mozambique, the Tide Ministry recently began broadcasting a program aimed to train pastors to diligently lead their congregations. The program also serves to deliver the gospel to believers and those who have yet to believe. After hearing a broadcast on John 3:16, one listener shared that he had never been taught about God's saving grace. And he encourages the Tide Ministry to continue its broadcast so that others may learn about Jesus and accept salvation as he did. It's edifying to hear from listeners who are touched by the Tide programs. Pray that more believers will be uplifted and that those who are not yet Christian will be open to hearing the gospel message and beginning their own journey of salvation.
To learn more about how the Tide radio programs are helping to train pastors and share the gospel with listeners in Mozambique, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Bill Martinez.
With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
Hey, isn't it? Of the year. I love this time of year. And, you know, as we were talking with Bill Fetter from American Minutes and, you know, all the great things he does, the historian and writer. And, you know, it's just always a joy when we have Bill here because we can talk about, you know, things that, you know, for us to remember our history is so important. and also to realize that at the center of all this is God himself. I mean, we start out this season with thanksgiving, you know, to be grateful and thankful for what we have. And as we go in the season, even though it's with COVID and all that we're dealing with, you know, the creativity of people, what I'm reading about, Bill, how creative people are becoming, whether it's with Zoom, finding ways to still have some contact. We are learning in this process that being lonely is not a whole lot of fun. And that can create all kinds of problems. And people are finding way to, you know, kind of bridge that loneliness, whether it is with Zoom or like I was talking with another gal that gifts people in her neighborhood, particularly people that are home alone, you know, elderly, retired people that haven't had a chance to connect with their grandchildren. And they're just, you know, cooking up their favorite recipes and, you know, ringing the door and, you know, kind of a ring and dash kind of thing and leaving a plate of holiday cookies. I mean, what a neat way to express love this holiday season, huh?
Oh, it is. It is. And I actually put together a book. It's called There Really Is a Santa Claus, The History of St. Nicholas and Christmas Holiday Traditions. So it goes through where the December 25th date came from, where the Christmas caroling, the Christmas tree, the gift giving, and it's fascinating. You know, people say, well, December 25th really wasn't the date because the, you know, sheep were in, couldn't be in the fields. It's like, no. Jerusalem, they had sheep in the fields every day because they had daily sacrifice, and Jerusalem's climate's like Dallas, Texas. But it's interesting. You read the Gospel of Luke, it's John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, in the temple, and an angel appears to him and says that he's going to have a son to name him John, and John the Baptist. And and then in passing, it says that Zachariah was of the course of Abijah. And we said, well, what's that? Well, King David divided the Levites into 24 groups, and each family group or each course took two turns in Jerusalem taking care of the temple for a week. And Josephus mentions that when Jerusalem was destroyed, he mentions that the first course, the first family, was on duty, but we still didn't know the order until the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. And one of the Dead Sea Scrolls is the sacerdotal priestly order of the Levites of the families. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, Abijah is the eighth family. So 8 weeks after we know the Roman date of when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, 8 weeks later, well, that would have been the end of September. And so if Zechariah was in the temple end of September, which is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and then his wife would have gotten pregnant that week, well, 6 months later is March, the end of March, maybe March 25th. And so the Gospel of Luke says that Elizabeth, his wife, was 6 months pregnant when Mary came to visit. And so Mary was visited by the Holy Spirit. She conceived baby Jesus, the Son of God, and Mary visited Elizabeth. And so that means that if Mary had gotten pregnant by the Holy Spirit around March 25th, 9 months later is December 25th. And so there really is a credible proof or evidence of December 25th actually being the date.
Well, there it is. And then, you know, there's so much, you know, that, you know, really warms your heart in your book. There really is a Santa Claus, the history of St. Nick and Christmas holiday traditions. This is a thing that is so amazing, like no other holiday, Bill. I mean, the traditions of Christmas, you know, why is it so rich in tradition?
Well, it's neat. The first three centuries of Christianity, the church was birthed into a one-world anti-Christian government, the Roman Empire. And for three centuries, Christians were persecuted, thrown to the lions. They would meet in catacombs. I went to school in Rome and college, would visit the catacombs. They would dig caves underground, and that was the Christian experience. So during this time, Nicholas is born in Greece, or what's called Asia Minor. St. Nicholas is to Greeks what St. Peter is to Roman Catholics, what St. Patrick is to the Irish. He's the most popular Greek Orthodox saint. There's more Greek Orthodox churches named after Nicholas than anybody else, you know, and Nick is a typical Greek name. And so a movement sweeps through Christianity at this time and says, look, if you're really Christian, you'll give away your money and separate from the world and live the rest of your life as a hermit in a cave. or join a monastery, we'll never see you again.
Right.
Well, anyway, this movement sweeps through Asia Minor. Nicholas becomes a Christian, and he gives away all his money, but he doesn't want to get the credit for giving away the money, so he does it anonymously at nighttime, throwing the money in the window of poor people. And one story becomes noted. Notable, a merchant in the town of Patara, Asia Minor, had gone bankrupt. And back then, the creditors would come and not only take your house and lands, they'd take your children. It would be a horrible life of slavery, maybe sex trafficking. It still goes on today. I just read where Boko Haram kidnapped 400 school kids in Nigeria. And so Nicholas, the father, the merchant, he's a father. He has three daughters. And they're, you know, early 20s, and they are going to be taken, and he doesn't want, so he has an idea. He hurries up and marries them off. The creditors couldn't take him, but he doesn't have money for a dowry. So this merchant is all concerned, and Nicholas hears the problem late one night, throws some money in the window. It provides a dowry. The oldest daughter can get married, does it for the second daughter another night. Supposedly the money lands in a shoe or a stocking that's drying by the fireplace. When he throws the money in
front of
his daughter, the dad runs outside and catches him. Nicholas makes him promise not to tell where the money came from. And that's the origin of the tradition of secret gift giving on the anniversary of Nicholas's death, which was December 6th of 343 A.D. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's just a Greek tradition. They have lots of stories about Nicholas confronting Arius, who started the Arian heresy, and slapping him across the face. And there was some governor was about to execute some people for covering up corruption, and Nicholas goes down to the execution square, grabs the sword out of the executioner's hand, throws it down, and then tells everybody what the corrupt governor did. And they have, you know, different miracle stories of him going to the port and praying, the sea becomes calm so the sailors can get back. Another is they're starving, and he talks the sailors into unloading some grain to feed his people, promises God will bless them, and they say that what was left had multiplied in the hull of their ship, sort of like Elijah and the little widow's meal.
Yes.
Carolyn. And then there's stories of confronting sexual immorality. So nearby was the temple to Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world at Ephesus, 127 huge pillars and temple prostitutes. So Nicholas preaches against this, and the people tear the temple down. So he would have been a fire and brimstone preacher, right?
Exactly.
He dies, and it's just a Greek person until the Muslims invade, and they would destroy churches and libraries and artworks, and they're still doing it today in countries like in Assyria, the ISIS, destroying, you know, the museums. And so the Christians don't want the bones of Nicholas to be trashed, and so they move him over to Italy in the year 1087. The Pope dedicates a church. The Pope's name is Urban II. You know him because he's the one that called for the First Crusade.
Exactly.
And so anyway, so now Nicholas's tradition spread through Italy, and it's so popular that sort of in protest, Francis of Assisi creates the nativity scene. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, donkeys in the manger. In other words, let's get back to the real reason for the season.
Exactly.
Then the Reformation starts, and Martin Luther ends the saint's days. He moves all the gift giving to December 25th, as all gifts come from the Christ child. The German pronunciation of Christ child is Christkindl or Christkindl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that comes from.
Here we go. A little bit of history here.
The book, there really is a Santa Claus. It's a fascinating book, and AmericanMinute.com is the website.
And that's where you want to go. And, of course, it's linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezShow.com. Bill Federer, as always, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we're going to get through this by God's grace and mercy, right?
Amen. Amen.
You got it, buddy. All right. Take care.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call
call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Arctic air is bringing bitter cold to parts of the east and south this Christmas Day. High winds and possible flooding are a threat for some areas along the east coast. Temperatures dropping to the mid-20s in Atlanta for lows on Friday morning. In the Great Lakes region, lake effect snow could mix with precipitation on the tail end of a massive storm system today and into Saturday for parts of New York State. As is tradition on Christmas morning, Cardinal Timothy Dolan joins NBC's Today Show with his Christmas message.
There's a lot of darkness out there. Mm-hmm. When all is said and done, when God has the last word, and he does, light conquers darkness. Now, that doesn't give us hope. I don't know what is, what will, and we need hope.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
We have been warned, it seems like for decades, and ever since the book 1984 came out, about, the rewriting of history. And we've seen it play out before our eyes. Some have sounded the alarm against it. But now it's gotten to the point where America's history is being rewritten in such a way to accommodate what I believe still is a minority perspective of the birth of America. And this is in spite of the indoctrination of our students, of our young people, our children that have been indoctrinated in public schools that we've paid for, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is how not only embarrassing, but how arrogant and how just horrendous this effort has been, because we know, from experience, of course, we read it in 1984, that he who controls the present controls the past. And right now, there has been an ardent and committed progressive aim at, controlling the present and therefore allowing themselves to rewrite the past. And now Peter Wood joins us. And his book, 1620, interesting, 16, didn't we hear about 1619? Well, 1620, his new book, it's a critical response to the 1619 Project. Peter Wood, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, a little bit of Peter's background so people understand. Peter's the president of the National Association of Scholars, and he's here to talk about his new book. Peter, what was it that said, look, I've got to write this book?
Well, I woke up on Sunday morning of August 18th, 2019, with the New York Times on my doorstep, and within it was a special issue of the Sunday Times magazine, and that is titled The 1619 Project. It's a kind of declaration of war against America, being framed as a retelling of our history, or it put it, a reframing of our history, commencing with the arrival in Virginia in 1619 of a ship bringing slaves. So both slavery, the New York Times began in August of 1619. That happens not to be correct, but let's let that sit for a moment. And ever since then, America has been a place that has thrived on the denial of rights and opportunities to African Americans, to the extraction of forced labor and other forms of demeaning control. Every single event of any importance in American history traces back to that point in time, but it also moves forward as a ever-expanding form of social and political control through racial hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So the major claim being made by the 1619 Project through the voice of Nicole Hannah-Jones, who was the editor and principal author of the study, is that America's ideals were false when they were written. That's a direct quote. The falsity means that ideas about freedom, equality, the capacity of people to govern themselves in a decent manner were all just masks put up to hide the fact that America was going to thrive on the basis of stealing people's lives and bodies to support the privileges of white. This gets traced through the American Revolution, through the Civil War, through the Civil Rights Movement. Every event of any magnitude, economic, political, social, religious, educational, whatever, is now seen through this particular lens of racial resentment based on the claim that it's all slavery from the beginning and right. America rightly understood as a slaveocracy.
Well, where is the scholarship to back up this this theory? I mean, and it's more of an opinion piece. I mean, at the end of the day, when you read it, you think, okay, am I reading, you know, opinion, or am I reading something that is, you know, saturated in fact and scholarship?
There really is very little scholarship behind it, although there are some academics that contributed to it. The idea being that Nicole Hannah-Jones had a vision that was going to be played out here. She's a journalist, not a historian. Mm-hmm. The Times usually presents itself as a newspaper, saying it trades in news, but in this case, they put that aside to offer something that they considered to be history, but which I think is better seen as mythology. Mm-hmm. And so go looking for facts. Well, nearly a year after this thing was published and the complaints of historians and other scholars had been brushed aside, the Times did decide to go looking for some facts to back up some of the more contentious claims. Mm-hmm. And I would say they came up dry. They found one historian who sort of agreed that the people in Virginia were upset about British involvement in the slave trade as a prelude to the American Revolution. But what that goes to is their idea that Americans fought in the Revolution against Great Britain because they were afraid Great Britain was going to abolish slavery in the New World, so to protect slavery, we needed to rebel. Mm-hmm. Now, any historian, when he stopped laughing at that, would quickly point out that we know pretty well why the American Revolution was fought. We even have a document called the Declaration of Independence, out 30-some reasons why the colonists should rebel against the king. Mm-hmm. And somehow they failed to mention that the real reason was that we needed to protect slavery. So there are these fantastic claims that don't pass historical muster. The Times has been kind of knocked back on its heels by many liberal and left-leaning historians who, mm-hmm. even though they're sympathetic with the larger project of trying to put greater emphasis on African-American history, right. cannot just sit back and watch these falsehoods presented as though they are the centerpiece of the new curriculum.
Peter, you mentioned these academics that were involved. I look at the academics and I question, you know, their associated credibility, along with the Pulitzer Prize Committee for awarding her a Pulitzer Prize. I mean, this to me tarnishes the value of the prize. But, you know, forever she will be able to say that she's a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter.
I tried my best to undo that. I mean, I gathered together 20-some historians, and I wrote a public letter to the Pulitzer Committee suggesting that after it had come out clearly that they were the Times was lying about this and Nicole Hannah-Jones was in on it, that they should rescind the prize. Of course, they did not do that, but I think the ensuing controversy certainly took the wind out of the Times' sails on this. So,
as you say, yeah, I'm sorry, Peter, but as you say, Nicole herself even backed off on this. I mean, she became very soft in terms of trying to defend what she had written in 1619 project.
But she declared falsely that she had never called it history. She just said she was offering a narrative, whatever that is, like a fiction is a narrative.
Right.
But she's on the record, not only in the original magazine, but many times speaking publicly, recorded, you can watch it on YouTube, saying, yes, this is history. So she is trying to back off, but she's kind of trapped herself with her rhetoric of the last year or so. And I think that we're faced with a situation, and I think in your intro you got to the heart of it, where it's not just that there's this eccentric one-off magazine from the Times, but there's an actual curriculum based on it. The Times is working with the Pulitzer Center to get this into the nation's schools. I say working, but they've spent many millions of dollars. I'm estimating about $10 million to promote this nationally.
Yes.
And they're succeeding. It is getting into the schools. We know that some school districts like Chicago and Buffalo have adopted it formally. But hundreds, thousands of history teachers across the country have accepted it and brought it.
Exactly. Peter, we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there. We come back. More from Peter Wood after this.
This report is sponsored by Hyundai. Car care is essential, and regular maintenance can improve the performance of your vehicle and save you money. Hyundai is making it much easier for its owners by now offering 3 years of complimentary basic maintenance with the purchase or lease of a new Hyundai vehicle. The Hyundai Complimentary Maintenance Program includes oil and oil filter changes, plus tire rotation at normal factory scheduled maintenance intervals for 3 years, or 36,000 miles, whichever comes first. Barry Ratzlaff, Chief Customer Officer, Hyundai Motor America.
Hyundai has always been a company that listens to customers and strives to provide products and services that maximize value and simplify life. Building on the strong foundation of America's Best Warranty, Hyundai Complimentary Maintenance helps dealers ensure that our owners keep rolling with peace of mind.
Complimentary maintenance is part of Hyundai's promise to create a better ownership experience. For more, visit HyundaiThreeYearMaintenance.com.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Now with orders to stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Oh my goodness, he's just about everywhere, isn't he? And thank goodness for you, because this is one of the few shows that is so committed to the truth, no matter where it leads. That is our promise to you. We're talking with Peter Wood, the president of the National Association of Scholars. His new book, 1620, A Critical Response to the 1619 Project. So many people have commented and are aghast at what the 1619 Project was all about. Nicole Hannah-Jones was given a Pulitzer Prize for this. Admittedly, the New York Times started stepping back away from it. She even admitted that, you know, this is more of a narrative. And that seems to be the order of the day and the disservice that I believe the media, which is protected by First Amendment rights, is providing a grave disservice to the American people in, you know, bathing in this narrative deal, because now you can make up any kind of stories. You can, you know, use anonymous reporting. Scholarship isn't necessary. And the thing that sets you back is going, how can something so unworthy of a Pulitzer Prize be awarded something that, you know, be awarded this prestigious award for something that is, you know, pedestrian at best and even sophomoric in its perspective. But the added shame to all this, ladies and gentlemen, is some 3,500 schools and counting are embracing this 1619 project, this false narrative. And this is what is going to be thrust upon our kids in their minds to warp their perspective about the birth of America. Peter, is that fair?
I think that is fair. We're in an epoch in which the line between fact and fiction has been slowly erased so that one cannot believe a newspaper. If you ever did believe in newspapers' integrity, the stories now are compounded of drastic omissions, important events that go unreported or are misreported, but also just stories that are told as though they're true when, if you actually know the subject, aren't very true at all. Those slaves landed in Virginia in 1619. She fails to mention that they were turned into indentured servants and were soon set free. They intermarried with the white population. They became landowners in some cases. There was, in a certain sense, an early experiment in racial integration in America rather than slavery, which began many decades later.
Right.
hoods of both omission and commission abound, and our news media just lap it up as though this is the story that we need to tell right now. I think this has played into the discontents that erupted with the riots after George Floyd's death in police custody in Minneapolis, so much so that Nicole Hannah-Jones christened the riots the 1619 riots. She knew the connection was there. She meant to stir up racial resentment and animus, and was happy to see it taking the form of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
The press likes that too, but as soon as those riots erupted, education at every level from grade school on through colleges began to say, we need to do something to fight systemic racism, whatever that is, mm-hmm. and adopting the 1619 narrative, if that's what we're going to call it, became one of the things that you could do. So let's go all in on this nice fable that America was a racist place from the beginning, is undeserving, and really is only there to be seen as a launching pad for regret, resentment, shame. And that's what's being taught to the next generation of students coming along. I'm not insisting that you actually be taught to love America, but if you actually know something about America, the chances are you will love it.
Yes.
On the other hand, if you're taught from the get-go that this nation was founded in racial oppression and slavery and is really nothing but that, you can hardly love your country. What kind of country can you have if people don't respect its basic values?
Mm-hmm.
I think the recipe here is to destroy our country.
Well, the other thing, in the destruction of our country, what it's going to do to the very people that she supposedly is trying to elevate. She's absolutely decimating them. And the 1619 Project really, seems to put the hook deeper into this victimhood consciousness, which is very dangerous. I mean, because as you said early on, you look at blacks who were maybe came originally as slaves, and how many blacks are we talking about? You know, we're not talking about millions of people here. We're not talking about the predominant number. I mean, just because people of color, it's not like all of them, you know, came from slavery compounds or from encampments and that sort of thing, or had slavery in their background. I mean, we even found out that we've got a vice president elect in our country whose family owned slaves. I mean, this is part and parcel of the American history. But also what's part and parcel is just what you just said that is so important, is that you had blacks, people of color, who rose above the challenge, became business owners, started communities, reached incredible heights. But that seems to be tamped down in the interest of indoctrination and promoting this dangerous victimhood mentality. Is that fair?
Yes, it is. I think what the 1619 Project basically teaches to blacks and other minorities is hopelessness. There's nothing you can do to overcome this. All of your achievements are paltry compared to the suffering that's been imposed on your people. The idea of actual advancement of civil rights and opportunities of making something good of your life is an illusion that the white people are imposing on you. The best thing to do is just to sit back and let the world go away.
Right.
Teaching hopelessness to people is certainly among the worst things you can do to advance.
Well, I maintain it mediocritizes the population, and it's disgusting. I have to tell you, Peter, as a minority myself, you know, I was told that there was no place for me in broadcasting, that this wasn't going to happen, and that I was to move on. I didn't listen to that. I stayed focused and kept true to what I felt like God was calling me to do. And believe it or not, back in 1972, after I got out of the Marine Corps, and I was blessed enough because I did have a earlier broadcasting career prior to going into the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, and I ended up doing Good Morning Camp Pendleton. radio and television, you know, that was my obligation and my service to the country during Vietnam. And fortunately, my two other brothers were in country, and but I was fortunate in that sense and because of my experience. But when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was told, hey, move on. You need to find something else. There's no room for a minority, you know, here in broadcasting. And, you know, and I can be thankful for a legend, a radio legend, Wolfman Jack, for being instrumental in me being the first Hispanic in Los Angeles to, you know, you never heard a Hispanic name, a last name in, you know, contemporary radio until 1972. And Wolfman Jack was very instrumental in making that happen because management didn't want that to happen. They felt like, okay, you know, it's just, you know, we really don't want to promote Hispanics, though they, as they continue to be, a growing demography in our country.
Well, people of goodwill of all races have always lent a hand when one was needed. Mm-hmm. People with ambition that couldn't be quenched by being told it's hopeless, go away, are people who have really made this country great. And yes. I'm happy that you achieved what you did. And there's millions of others who have achieved great things as well, but never with the counsel that it's hopeless, don't even try.
Exactly.
It doesn't get us anywhere.
Well, you look at Dr. Ben Carson, what he had to go through, his mother with a third grade education, two sons, wanting to keep them out of harm's way and the streets, the gang streets there where he grew up. And you know, look at the success story. That, you know, by a single mother even. And but that narrative doesn't want to be put out there because, you know, that's not a victimhood narrative. It doesn't isn't a narrative that would lead to some sort of, monetary settlement, or some sort of compensation because of. You know, maybe a grandparent, maybe not, just because they're a color of skin that they deserve, you know, payment.
Right. Part of what Nicole Hannah-Jones is about was pressing the case for reparations.
Right.
She followed her initial article with another one titled What is Owed, in which she laid out her plan for billions of dollars to be transferred to anybody who could show his or her ancestors included slaves. An interesting part of that was he said, this don't get the idea that once this payment is made, everything is forgiven and we can move on. No, this is just a payment along the way and there will be more after that. So it's a very unattractive picture of people trying to extort large amounts of money for injuries that happened centuries ago.
Exactly. Well, and we know once we open up that Pandora's box, is reparation can take on many forms and affect many people, not just people of color like that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, without a doubt.
No idea.
Well, Peter Wood, we got to leave it there. Again, we thank you for your time and your book, a great contribution and counter to the 1619 Project. It's 1620, a critical response to the 1619 Project. It will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.